Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Her name was Ruth. Ruth was about 5'5", a little on the chunky side. Ruth was a Mexican woman who grew up in a Catholic home. Ruth, as she grew in ages, found that she was not always the nicest person in the world. Ruth, as she grew older, drank too much, smoked too much, and cussed too much. So naturally, she became a Lutheran pastor. I met Ruth many, many years ago, as she was serving a parish in Kansas City, Missouri. And Ruth was one of those people with many, many rare gifts and some shortcomings. One of her shortcomings was that she didn't have that little chip in her brain that many people have. You have one. It's in your brain. It's a little chip that a thought starts in your brain, and then the chip says, "Don't say that out loud." Ruth didn't have that. Ruth said pretty much exactly what she thought. She did pretty much whatever she wanted. It caused Ruth many problems over the years and certainly gave her no end of hassle as well. But it was Ruth. In her congregation in Kansas City, she served a group that was ethnically diverse, Spanish-speaking, English-speaking, German-speaking, you name it. It was a neighborhood in transition. And Ruth was not unusual to see her out in the parking lot where they distributed food each week. Ruth loved people. One of Ruth's great gifts was that she really believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because she didn't have that little chip in her brain, she pretty much said it like it was. So Ruth believed that the hungry needed to be fed, and so every week, hundreds of people came to that parish, and they were fed. Other congregations, other denominations gathered food and money and time and people, and they fed people. Children, educated, cared for, and loved them. If you showed up there on any particular day, you would probably see Ruth out there in her clergy shirt with her foot up on the wall, smoking a cigarette and talking to a group of filthy, smelly men doing her ministry. I found Ruth to be a remarkable inspiration for a couple of reasons. First of all, I really liked Ruth because she actually made me look not all that bad. But mostly what I loved about Ruth is that Ruth decided early in her ministry that she would not veil the gospel. She believed that one of the problems with ministry and the world and the church was that it spent way too much time being polite, being nice. She felt as though at times we needed to strip the veneer off of the gospel and say the gospel for what it is and what it shares. One of the things I love about the change in the lectionary for this year is it used to be all you got was the story of the Transfiguration. And you would look at that story and go, isn't that nice? Jesus went up on the mountain, he got all shiny, he talked with Moses and Elijah, the disciples didn't know what was going on and tried to build a tent, and that was the end. But now they include what happened when he came down. Jesus is not very polite in this story. He comes down off of the mountain, and there he's met by a father whose son is insane. It says that a demon grabbed a hold of him and threw him into the ground. And he says to Jesus, "Heal my son. Your disciples have tried to do it and they couldn't get it done." And Jesus turns to them, and it was perfect. We did not rehearse this. But did you notice how polite she was? She said that Jesus said, "Oh, you persevering generation." That was special. What it says is, "Oh, you perverse generation." See, we're so polite that we just put in the nice words for Jesus just in case we offend someone. He says, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? Bring your son here." In that moment, he strips away all of the nonsense. And he says it like it is. See, I think what Jesus and Ruth have in common is that they see the church, you, the people of the church, for who they are. I have a theory that church people are just like everyone else, but more so. You hurt each other. You have anxiety. You are afraid. You are sometimes a little picky about things. You want your own way. You're lazy and apathetic. Gifted, talented, joyous, and filled with God's Spirit. All at once. Jesus turns to that crowd and tells them, not just the crowd, because he's really speaking to his disciples also, who didn't manage to get the kid healed. "You perverse and faithless generation, bring the boy to me." And he heals him. See, I think the problem, one of the problems and gifts of the church these days is that we want to be so polite about our religion and our faith that we rob it of its power. It's like we're putting a veil over the gospel to make it palatable for everyone, to not offend anyone. Jesus seems to have lost his switch too. He boldly and clearly proclaims to that boy, "You are healed." God doesn't seem to have that switch either. God says, "This is my son, my chosen." And if he was from Texas, he would have said, "Y'all listen to him. Listen to him." When the gospel becomes unveiled, when God's peoples become unveiled, something powerful happens. Ruth in her ministry decided to unveil herself and the gospel, to be exactly who God had made her to be, warts and all. And she demanded that the hungry be fed and that the gospel be preached. She demanded that people work toward the gospel and the ministry to which they had been called, and she held us all accountable. She was as much a prophet for me as Moses and Elijah. And it shined. When we put away our fears and our need to be polite and proper and politically correct, when we begin to listen to God's word and to share it openly and unveiled, to be unafraid of the consequences often, which are really quite mild, a little embarrassment, a little self-consciousness. When we begin to put that away, powerful things happen. The world is transformed by your ministry. I see it time and time again. God has given you so many gifts. We're surrounded by them today in art and song and music and proclamation in words. God has given you the gift of ministry, and we just need to unveil it. Ruth died early. Her smoking and drinking and high blood pressure, I am afraid, eventually caught up with her. And so this remarkable, rather pesky woman died in her late 50s. And as she was dying, she asked, of course, somebody had to do her funeral, and so she asked me if I would do her funeral. So her kids came to me and said, "Mom wants you to do the funeral," and I said, "Sure." And so we all gathered one day in my church, bishops, pastors, all of her colleagues, members of the congregation, members of the synod, all gathered together. Well, Ruth was a pesky one, and so we gathered together, and I stood up, and the very first thing I said to all of them is, "I'm so glad that you are here." And I looked at my colleagues and said, "Ruth didn't like you very much." And the bishop smiled, because Ruth had always been a thorn in his side, as she had been for many of us. And I said, "She didn't like you very much, but oh, how she loved the gospel." And we prayed. After the service, when all of the nicety was done, her children came into my office, and they said, "We want to give you something." And none of her kids were churched anymore. They had felt that their mother had been so kind of abused by the church, and I pointed out to them that she had done a fair amount of abusing herself. They said to me, "We want you to have something." And so they gave me this stole, which is still smells like smoke. And has dirt on the back from her collar, as a gift and a reminder of what it means to be a prophet in the world. And I place it on your shoulders in the same way that it was placed on mine, that you can go out into the world to proclaim that gospel unveiled, unmasked, with courage, boldness, and love, that the whole world might be transformed. Amen.